that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
The sermon for today, the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, Faith as the Centurion, by Most Reverend John T. Calhoun. Today's gospel opens with these words, when he was come down from the mountain, and goes on to describe two hearings. Jesus had been up on the mountain to deliver the longest sustained piece of his teaching the New Testament gives us, the Sermon on the Mount. So as St. Matthew presents the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, the first thing he does is teach, and the second thing he does is heal. After I was ordained in the Episcopal Church, I worked as an assisting priest in three parishes. In the first and the third, which were, perhaps not coincidentally, the more socially prominent ones, there were no healing services and no public laying on of hands. We did have a healing service in the second parish, but to avoid embarrassment, it was safely conducted not on Sunday morning. The rector always assigned me to do that service because, as he said, I seemed to be interested in that sort of thing. I always read today's gospel at the healing service. That was partly because it appeared so prominently at the start of Jesus' ministry and emphasized how important healing was to him. It was also because the gospel contains two hearings, which are different from one another in two ways. In one, Jesus heals a Jew, and in the other, a Gentile. In the first, he heals directly by laying on his hand, and in the other, he heals from a distance. We conclude from all that both that Jesus can heal anybody and everybody, and that he can act either through direct touch or at a distance. That's why I don't check anyone's ethnic identity card before I'm willing to lay my hand on him in Christ's name at the altar rail, and why we also pray for Jesus to heal people who are not right here. I have told you before that I find this parish's receptivity to the healing ministry to be one of the most rewarding things about being here. It is fascinating to observe the effect of our unashamed, though perfectly decorous, administration of healing on Sunday mornings. I don't just mean the effect on the people for whom we pray. I also mean the effect on the people who watch. The second person who asked Jesus for healing in today's gospel is a centurion, a Roman commander of 100 men. He isn't sick himself. He is concerned about his servant who is laying at home paralyzed. When Jesus says he will come right over, the centurion says the familiar words, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Only speak the word." The centurion recognizes that he and Jesus have something in common, even though Jesus is not wearing any sort of uniform. The centurion knows he operates in a hierarchy. He is under authority himself, and he has authority over other people who do what he tells them to do. The centurion implies that Jesus operates within an hierarchy also. He obeys his Heavenly Father and the spirits which produce such things as paralysis are subject to him. What he says reaches Jesus as not much else ever does. Jesus responds, "I have never seen as much faith among my own people as I see in this Gentile." And this centurion is not the only Gentile who gets into the kingdom of heaven ahead of the people God chose in the first place. Last Tuesday, we buried Colonel E.G. Van Orman. I know him, used to see him at Senate. I had known Van off and on for nearly 20 years, not a quarter of his long life, but quite well for the past 8 years. Van was a retired colonel in the Marine Corps. I won't soon forget the first time I talked to him after the assistant secretary in the Defense Department had made her ill-advised recent remarks about the Marines. I said, "Hey, Van Orman, are you an extremist?" He replied, perfectly in character, "Hell yes, I am." But I also won't soon forget how the same man stood at the altar rail every Sunday morning for several years to receive Holy Communion and the laying on of hands for healing. He believed with all of his being that it was through that brief moment of nourishment and touch that Christ was keeping him alive. So he would stand at the rail after I had prayed and say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." I laid my hand on him just a few hours before he died, and though he was not exactly conscious, he raised up his head and writhed his body around in response. I think God answered that prayer for healing positively, just as he had answered the other ones. We didn't run out of miracles. Van's final healing just took a different form. After all, Jesus promises us what he promised the centurion 2,000 years ago. "As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.